about partly growing, maturing in Christ, and it really is important. I think one of the things we talk about maturing, to simplify it, I mean, sometimes if somebody said, you know, God wants to mature you, really what would it mean? I think there'd be a lot of thoughts we'd get. I think there'd be some right. But I want to simplify one thing about as you're on your journey and what God is doing. He is shaping you into a son of God, a daughter of God. You are becoming more like Jesus as the days go by. This is part of maturity. I think it's important because as you grow, you do minister more. There's no doubt about it. But it is not merely, when I went to school, my image of what even a minister was, a pastor, was a person that could explain the Word of God really, you know, good intellectually. And honest to God, I did not necessarily really catch that there was a metamorphosis, that I was to become more like Jesus. In a way, I felt I was to become more versed in the knowledge of Jesus. And, you know, and maybe I was a charismatic, so we'd speak in tongues, we'd have some, you know, gifts thrown around. But the actual basis of maturing, that Jesus came and not only died for us, but showed us a way. Because as even as we are in the world, so was he in the world. And how he is maturing you, and he is bringing you to that point. Because I think it's important that we understand that we're being brought forward. Romans 8:15, if you want to go there with me. And that's everybody. A lot of people know this verse when we go to it. Romans 8:15. Paul says something here that I admit I have some other new thoughts on that I hadn't had before. I had always quoted this scripture in Romans 8:15 where it says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba or Abba, Father." And, you know, oftentimes when I would remind somebody they were a believer, we would use this because when you got born again, for the first time, you said Father. If you were non-religious, you maybe even never used the word Father God. But something in the imagery there, when you really look at it, it really speaks of a new birth. You know, a baby comes out of the womb and, you know, they pull it out and they slap the baby and it starts crying. And this point of inception, of birth, when we cry out, Abba, Father, is the beginning of a journey. And there's no doubt about it. And sometimes I think that we're happy to be here. I think, and that's a good thing, we're happy to be saved. We're happy that in the beginning we cried out, Abba, Father. And we are still calling out, Abba, Father. But there's a process that we are being brought through. And I think what the Lord cares a lot about is obviously as you become more like Jesus. And again, I want to say there's a supernatural interaction. Too many times we take the moral lessons of Jesus, but the very living Savior through us, and as well as what we're becoming, we kind of, it's interesting. It's like, you know, there's an old saying, the devil is in the details. And the enemy is, he's really slick with how he does this, because if the church itself holds some of the morals of Jesus, but that person of Jesus is not coming through in power, the results we're going to get are very poor. In fact, the church is going to be very sterile. It's going to be a place where people will say, well, that's moral. Well, they do some right things, but there's not necessarily going to be this amazing display of the Son of God. So I want to encourage you. By your birthright, you started crying out, Abba, Father. That was your beginning. You were, you know, you came out of the womb, so to speak. You were slapped and you cried out, Abba, Father. But it is a beginning. And there is a journey of maturity. And it is going to be you walking and stepping. And it's going to be about the person of the Son of God, the manifestation of Jesus in you in different situations. One thing I've realized is I watch Christians through the years, ministers as well. You can be a minister and be a complete baby. You can be completely not grown up. And I've watched situations and we kind of went, you know, that didn't go right. You know, something happened, this trial, and people reacted wrongly. And oftentimes we'll say stuff like, you know, yeah, there should have been more this or more love or more this. And I think many times it's valid saying that. But something more importantly, and I realize as you will go through situations and I will go through situations, this church will go through situations, when things happen, what you really want to see is a manifestation of the Son of God through his people. People will do things during trials that you go, that's nothing like the Son of God. And the Son of God is not being made manifest. And it's interesting because we need that. We need a manifestation of Jesus in us, through us, to us. That's actually part of what maturity means. You're in this earth as a son and a daughter of God. There are things and places you will go. And really what God is desiring as you mature more and more, that the Son of God, that Son of God Armand, or that Son of God Matt, or that Son of God Dallas, or Barbara, I could go through the names in this place. But that the Son of God is made manifest is really going to be the key to pass or fail. Now I want to say this. I didn't say that the rules of God, I didn't say that simply the do's and don'ts of God, but that the Son of God is made manifest in situations. If you have a situation, you know, everything we are becoming is in that very image. That is maturity. That is what it means to mature in Christ, is to be like Christ, is to manifest Christ to a greater degree. We've substituted in the church the word maturity because, like I said early on, I wanted to have a grasp of Scripture. Now, I want to say this. I know many of you, I've lent you books and you study, and that none of that's bad. That's good. But at the same time, if it was simply the procuring of knowledge to know more and hear, and if that was actually what made you mature, boy, I tell you, there's a lot of people I've met that are super smart, but haven't grown one iota in true maturity. They can talk about the Bible more. They can talk about God more. They can even express different emotional terms that would seem fiery. But the manifestation of the Son of God is the maturity of the church. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing in you. He's doing in me since it all started. Like I said, the beautiful thing is in the beginning, we all had a beginning. And we were all born again. And we cried out, Abba, Father. And that was that very beginning. And there is a journey that begins the day after that. Now the baby is growing. Now, I talked about, too, just in maturing, you're just becoming more like Jesus. And you are in that image. It's in your DNA. Everything in you says this is what you are to become. But I want to tell you something. In the different situations in life you're going through, the people you interact with, the trials that will even happen, sometimes the hard things. I don't want to hear Christian talk. What I want you to look for is a manifestation of the Son of God. If you're dealing with other Christians, then there should be that very essence of Jesus when you're dealing with them. And when they react, there should be a reaction that is like a Son of God. It's funny that most of what really manifests our maturity or lack of is that. I've seen situations where men were college graduates, and you'd call them men of God, and I didn't see Jesus anywhere in the way they reacted, in the way they walked, in the way they conducted themselves. Translation, with all their learning and all their years of study, they hadn't grown a bit, because maturity is based in that Son of God image. Maturity is really based in becoming sons and daughters of God and growing in that very stature, it says, of Christ. You know, it's funny, you can go 20 years down the road and watch somebody that they mistook taking and had knowledge. They mistook knowing all the facts about the Bible and even being able to quote it. They mistook that with automatic maturity. But their inner man, their outer man, what God was trying to develop and transform, the metamorphosis, which is supernatural, into a Son of God, that was flat. It is to a great horror to see in my eyes when I've seen this through the years, different people, and it's like all your training has done you no good because you mistook what you knew with truly what it is to walk as a Son of God. And you don't even connect the two. And when the opportunity came for the Son of God to be made manifest, in fact, the opposite was manifest. Carnality, flesh, the devil. But there was no Son of God to be seen in the way you behaved. Now, that said, that doesn't mean as you mature, you won't make mistakes. As you mature, you may at times tumble. But that general growth in you. Now, the one thing I want to mention to you, as we grow in the Lord, also there is going to be, you're going to see works done. There's going to be a fluidity that increases. But again, many times we're taught to kind of, you know, get some more facts together, but we don't realize there's a supernatural transformation going on. It's in our DNA. It's in our very DNA. It's funny, when a baby is born, you know darn well that 5 years down the road, that baby will be a child, no longer an infant, no longer a little toddler, and you will see it. And you don't have any doubts about what that baby's becoming because it's in its DNA. And barring some radical deformity, and even with that, it's still a baby, but it has some problems. I want you to get this in really just this thought of this the seasons that keep coming and going and the opportunity for growth and the Son of God to be manifest. You know, it's interesting. Many times, again, we will judge ourselves in maturity based on maybe what we can say with our head. But you want to know something interesting, though? I've seen Christians that are maturing and becoming more like Jesus. They may not be wizards intellectually, but it's funny. They will manifest in situations the Son of God character that is in them and divinely. They will even put themselves down in kind of like, you know, I don't know if I'm doing so good. And it's interesting because where the rubber meets the road is when you get into situations in life and you deal with different things, who's manifesting? Is the devil manifesting? Is the Son of God manifesting? Is it a bunch of flesh? Is it a bunch of self-willed garbage? And oftentimes, again, because they see people, we have different patterns of maturity that really aren't signs of maturity at all. We mark a lot of stuff sometimes. But functional, living truth, the Word becoming flesh, is part of really what maturity. I see people take great deals of time looking for what they call revelation and deeper truths, and I think all of that's great. But any truth that truly I learn that is really worth something becomes flesh in me. It becomes a part of my function. It becomes a part of the way I do things. Or it doesn't. You know, I'm one of these guys, too, that I often say there's knowledge that isn't not that important to have, and then in the Lord, there's knowledge that really counts. I want to share something, too. As you're growing in Christ, the chronology in Christ is not like the chronology in the world. You can be 40 years old in the Lord, or 45, and that doesn't necessarily... And you can be 40 years in the Lord, and it may mean that you're mature, and that the Son of God is grown and transformed and being more manifest in you. But I also remember a believer of decades, and I looked at them, and they were no different than when they got saved. Now, it hurt me, not because I wasn't mad at them, but it wasn't my problem that they weren't mature and they weren't under me. But I just said, you do realize that chronologically, you could be a baby forever. Because there's choices that will come that are meant to help you to grow and to mature. You can hit those decisions and those valleys and those different things in your life. And God meant that to be a step of maturity and transformation. You can reject it. You can refuse to walk through it. You can do a whole lot of things. And I remember saying that, and the person was very stunned because they had never viewed it like that. They thought, number one, that just as they were in the Lord, somehow the chronology just moved forward. Whether they displayed the Son of God or the devil for 20 years, in their minds, I'm a Christian, that's what counts. But if you actually look at the scripture, we start crying out, Abba, Father. And it really says there's a process of metamorphosizing going on us. And it is this supernatural metamorphosis that actually is what really gauges maturity. And I want to say this. Now, one thing I keep an eye out for, just as a Christian, as a pastor, especially watching sheep, I'm looking for a manifestation of the Son of God in the character. I'm looking for a manifestation of the Son of God in the situations that arise. I love what you say, but if you hit a situation and you react like when you really act out like more like the devil, I'm saying, well, they gotta grow. They're not maturing. We gauge maturity by a lot of what I call false flags, and that's part of the problem. Because if you don't understand what Jesus is doing, if you don't realize you're being transformed into that image, and there are even situations where you're hitting red seas where you can say, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and you grow through that experience, and you become more of a Son of God through that experience. It's life's meant to do this to you and to me. It's a beautiful thing with that. One thing I love, Jesus said, you know, and this really comes into the category of maturity. He said, I've come that you might know the Father. This is an amazing thing. I've come that you might know the Father. He didn't say, I've come that you might know about the Father. This is interesting. I didn't come that you might learn more facts. He said, I've come that you might know the Father. And all the words, even in Greek, are very personable, very intimate. very relational. They're not static knowledge. It's interesting. But I watch people, and I'm pleased with many of the Christians I know, because I do see that Son of God forming in them more and more and more as time goes by. You know, and you think about Jesus, and even as he was in this earth, the different things he did, and he was giving you a... He was the only perfect one without sin, and that's it. But the image, the die-cast that he laid down as a Son of God in this earth, in the flesh, he was showing us believers as we mature the different things we're going to be able to do. But again, it's connected to transformation. We often hit the scripture almost like legal rites. I'm a Christian, now I'm going to heal the sick. And we don't understand that the Son of God wants to be increased in your being, you want to be, God's metamorphosizing, he's transforming you. As that Son of God is manifest, the works of the Son of God will be there. But it's interesting, in Western mindset, many times there's a completely backwards approach to what we think and how maturity works and when we're going to be ready. I talked about Jackie Pollinger, who kind of did I'm not going to call it an orphanage, but she housed addicts and people in Hong Kong, and I've watched her preach, and it's interesting. When she got over to there, she went in years to where you go as a missionary, you don't fly back and forth, you don't have the money, it's very expensive, and once you set up there, it's even to where she missed her mother dying and her father dying even, because she couldn't even get back to England at that point. And she served in there, and God began to use her, and she began to do what the Son of God does when he walks through Hong Kong. Now, it's interesting, because sometimes religious leaders came against her, not because she taught false doctrine, because they were like, what school are you from? What's your association? You know, all the little markings they thought. Now, here you had a Son of God being manifest in Hong Kong. She's a legend now. And you had the Son of God being manifest in the country and her doing the works that the Son of God, and he was manifesting. And there was supernatural empowerment. The religious came up to her and were just trying to figure out what's your handle, what's your denomination, what flag do we throw down in your sanctuary. And she's actually demonstrating maturity as to what it really means from the Bible. But you had a clash of men who marked maturity differently than how the Bible marks maturity. And many of these men were theologically trained, and very seasoned, and yet even they couldn't tell what a mature Christian looked like. What do you think happens when men like that train people to be disciples? They make other people that don't understand what maturity is and even what transformation really means. And there she was, doing the works of the Son of God. Oh, people weren't always being healed. People were being changed. And she tells about, you know, somebody comes, they leave, they come, they leave. She spent, I think 6 years before she even got one convert. But it was worth it to her. She was the woman that Leonard Ravenhill said, this is my hero, my example, just to give you a point of reference of who Jackie Pollinger is. If you look her up on YouTube, she's got some. In fact, I'll be glad to forward you some messages. The woman is amazing. She was mature. She didn't start mature. And when she went to Hong Kong, she was less, you know, less manifesting the Son of God than she is today, because she was growing in that. And even part of what her call was is even part of what was growing her. And her response to that was part of what was growing her. But this is really critical. And the reason I bring this up today, because it just strikes me, all the years we go through, guys, as Christians. And you've all dealt with people where they said they were a Christian, you know, but when you got into a situation, you went, boy, I don't know, I see Jesus either talking like that or doing or acting like that. And you kind of shake your head and go, I don't want to be judgmental, and you're not. But here's the beautiful thing. I think we need to say, you know, the Son of God wants to be more manifest, and I'm to mature. There's a process. It is a process. It's interesting. When I got into ministry, I was cut down a lot. I was young. In fact, somebody said, you just look like a baby face. I couldn't listen to it. Even she said, one person said the best. She said, you teach with a gravity of a very older person, but I can't get past how young you look. Okay. If I levitated off the floor or glowed, would you come back to church some more? But again, yes, I was young. But you know, there was a process of maturity that God is doing, and he wants to take place in all of us. You know, we never want to run around apologizing for a level we haven't reached yet, but we need to know we're on the journey and God is climbing us higher. But I look at this, and many times there's many misunderstandings. And Jesus wants to, listen, Jesus has manifested, I believe, through every one of you believers here today. I know that. You've done different things in your life. You've had steps of obedience that absolutely not only show you're His, but that your DNA is His. You will grow more than you did yesterday, and even next year, there will be a greater manifestation of that Son of God in you. But again, this is about becoming. And so many times we view maturity as kind of like school. You know, I went to school, I got a bachelor's, I got a master's, I got a BA or a BS or whatever, and I did this and I did this and now I'm ready for this job. And in the world, it kind of works like that. But in the body of Christ and graduating into different levels of ministry and what God wants to do to you, it's not so cut and dried where we open a book and we go through points A through Z and then we pass the three finals and now we're ready. It's different. And when I went into Bible school, that's exactly what I was after. Because that's what I thought it meant to be mature. My pastor was smart about the Bible. You know, he's a smart guy. And he could say things, and I just wanted to be like that. I wanted you to be able to ask me a Bible question, I could answer it. All of that is a great thing. But I actually believe that was the judgment of maturity and what made me mature. And there was a problem because there was a process that I was going to have to go through. And it was also, I want to say this, in school, you know, you're going to hit and miss, and you got to get passing grades. In the Lord, you are going to hit and miss, and you're going to fail, and He's going to bring you back to pass again. And it is different, and you're going to graduate, but all that you're becoming is a son of God, is a daughter of God here today. And this is a beautiful process, but oftentimes there can be pain involved in that. There can be trial. You're going to make mistakes, and then hopefully the issue is that you learn. And the Son of God wants to be made manifest. The question you need to ask yourself as you're going through life, do I see the manifestation of a Son of God or something else? Interesting, when I see people and they're lagging, they're decades in the Lord, they still have no control of their mouth, no control of their spirit whatsoever. They don't even believe in controlling it. I'm like, the sad thing about that is you don't realize that you're immature. I'm not talking about a few mistakes that you did here and there, but I'm talking your whole general outlook and the way you walk around. You've been a son of God for 30, 40, 50 years, but you act like a little baby consistently, meaning you're not growing at all. You know a lot. You know the language. You know the scripture. You can define it and tell it to other people. You know, it's interesting, but you're not mature. Not believe every truth I've ever pulled off a pulpit affects me deeply and is relative to myself as well as to you. I don't ever believe I've taught you a truth that I mastered and therefore I can share with you because I'm better. Even speaking about this stuff, you want to see, it's interesting. Paul, when Paul says, and a lot of people don't realize this, remember in Galatians, Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What he's actually making a statement about, people go, self-denial, all that's good. But what he's making a statement about, Paul had hit this thing of maturity. He had grown. There was a manifestation of a Son of God going on as he walked around. So he did the works of Jesus. And this is connected to even to his own growth. He didn't say that when he was in Saudi for 14 years. He didn't say that in the beginning. But later on, he finally says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And again, people don't understand that process so much so. Do you know God is growing you, and as He grows you, you know what? We will see more and more of the works of the Son of God out of you. Now, that is not automatic, you know? It is not. I think about the things that a mature Son of God, Jesus, what did He say? I can only do what I see the Father doing. As long as Christians are running around doing 1,000 things that God never called them to, they're not displaying the Son of God in their ministry at all. As long as Christians are running around self-willed, off the track, distorted, distracted, and they're doing everything they want to do, even if it's in the name of Jesus, but God hasn't willed any of it, because the Son of God says, I can only do what I see the Father doing. Think about this for a minute. And we go, oh, well, that's Jesus. Well, you're sons of God. So we get to a place in our life, and I'll give you how this process works. It's pretty simple. Early on, we're selfishly ambitious, and there's a mixture of God said this, and I wanted this. And, you know, it may be 70-30, meaning 70 us, 30 Jesus. But hopefully, as
the old man dies. Hopefully, as you get broken down and you humble yourself, then it's down to 50% of Jesus, 50% of what I want. But actually, where Jesus is really going, because he wants that Son of God manifest in you, is really like Paul, where you're only going to do what you see the Father doing. That's part of maturing, actually. A lot of people don't. They go, I don't want to make that mistake, and I wasted my time. That's all good. I've said that very thing. But the goal wasn't simply, I need to hear the Lord better. The actual goal is to say, actually, Mike will only do what he sees the Father doing. That's a difference. And that's a mark of maturity. Now, that's a mark we either hit or we miss. It's not automatic. Because you can have the Father saying, I only want you doing this, and you can still get involved with three other things and distract yourself. Mm-hmm. But this is what's really critical, because we view maturity as this lofty thing. You get what I'm saying? And we just, sometimes it's really simple stuff like that. You know, the Son of God, when the crowd tried to make him something he wasn't to be at that moment, it says he kind of escaped. He went away from that crowd. Remember when anybody remember they were going to take him, make him king? Mm-hmm. That was even in what the Jewish thought was in that day. He was the Mashiach, the Messiah. We're going to make him king. Well, the Son of God doesn't take the position that he's not supposed to take before the time. He was the only begotten of God. He was God in flesh. Mm-hmm. He showed us an example. As they sought to make him a king, he won't be a king. Really, he is the King of Kings right now, and has been even since the death and resurrection. But as far as a king in Jerusalem, that's not even until the millennial. So it's funny. A Son of God is at the right place, and he allows the right promotion at the right time, and also doesn't let the ideas of man of what he should be define what he should do at the moment, but rather knows the plan of the Father and delays and gets away. That's good. This is, and again, I pray this doesn't sound jarvelled. It's just something the Spirit of God just laid on me so heavy this week, because it's such a critical thing. You know, many times we're kind of going, God, I want to do this, and I want to see this, and all that's good. I'm glad you have desires. I'm glad you have ambitions. I do pray some of them are the actual ambitions of what God's wanting to do at the moment in your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But oftentimes we're like saying, God, I want to do this. And I'm not trying to be mean myself. And I'm in this equation as well. I've told God that. And really, if he speaks plainly, just say, yeah, I'm growing you into a Son of God that can minister and be Son of God in this earth. But you're not there right now. You're mistaking ministering in my name versus ministering as a Son of God. There is something to that that you can't walk past. So many times we are speaking mature things, and God wants to get us to this place. But that's part of maturing, and that's part of the process. And this is really, and I will say this is everything you are becoming. If you want to know your future, I want you to think of Jesus. I want you to think of a Son of God in this earth. That's where you're going. Now, that expression may be different. Different people have a different calling. It's different people. As Jesus took the children and blessed them, some are called to take the children and bless them. As Jesus preached the crowd where they wanted to kill him, some will preach to the anger of many, but will redeem many. I mean, there's so many aspects to being a son and a daughter of God. But this is so, so critical, you know? I think about crying out, Abba Father, when I was first born again. And you know what's interesting about a baby? Did you ever notice they can't articulate a lot? So you're like, what's wrong? You know, when the babies are crying and they don't have an off switch and you're just going insane because you don't know how to shut them up. You know what I'm saying? And we guys were way worse. And the women have this natural thing and we're just all over the place. You know, the baby's crying. What do you do with this baby? But you know what's interesting? A baby can't really articulate, can it? No. It eats. It sleeps. It poops, it laughs, it cries. That's pretty much, and its nocturnal clocks are usually screwed up early on. It's kind of interesting because as young kids of God, it's interesting. We're not really good at articulating the depths of who we are we? Now, children grow up and they learn to talk, mama, dada, and then they get better than that and they start talking and this whole thing. But this is part of this beautiful thing. Now, I wanted you to go to Hebrews 5:12, and I've read this before. This is really a point we all get at all many times, and I want to encourage you just that God. And you know what's interesting, too? I want you to think about something. Jesus could only do what he saw the Father doing, right? And he would follow it. That even meant going to the cross, and I got to be honest with you, that was a task people many times don't understand even. But it's interesting. When he prays in the garden, remember, he says, Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Mm-hmm. but not as I will, but you will. That was for us. That prayer even was for us to understand something. A son of God sees it. He feels the pain. He knows it's what the future holds for his call is painful. And he acknowledges that it'd be nice to not feel this. Mm-hmm. But with that in view, not as I will, but you will, Father. And it's interesting. Back when I was an early believer, people used to say, if you would say, Lord, if you could take this, but not as I will, they'd go, that's a weakness. You got to have a positive attitude. But the Son of God sits in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he does this thing where he's about to face something that none of us will ever face. We'll never pay for the sins of mankind for all time. You got to remember, he had to redeem all sins ever committed, all the sins that would ever be committed, all that had been committed, backwards and forwards through all time. There's a beautiful thing, but I want you to think about something. God will lead you to a task. And it's interesting, because as he's wanting you to do what you see the Father doing, he asks you to do that. It can be something simple. And it always starts out with smaller things, because like children, God gets us, you know, from crawling to stepping, holding our hands, and then he lets us walk on our own. And it's interesting because even different things God's asked you to do, maybe you didn't realize it at the time and you did them. And maybe other things he asked you to do, and you kind of avoided it. But the point is you're growing into a son of God. That step even in of itself is an act that where the Son of God is made manifest. So if God says, Michael, I want you to go here, and I want you to go overseas here, and I'm scared of it because I personally just, it frightened me. And then you say, okay, Father, this is what you're willing. Then you take that step, and something happens when you take that step. That's another step in growth. God could tell you to go to the corner store. God could tell you to give to the poor. God could speak anything. And these are various things of his will. As we respond, we begin to grow. I remember preaching a sermon as a new minister, and it was, God will take you A to B, not A to Z. And I used to talk about the progression of growing and how many times we want to go A to Z. You know? I'll never forget the guy who was preaching in a small crowd, and my teacher in our synoptics class said, and the guy was kind of mad because he was asked to preach. It was a little small group. He said, I'm called to preach to nations. The pastor said, son, you're called to preach to a person. And if you can't get the person, don't worry about the nations. I had another friend, he's from Israel, and he was Italian and Jewish, so we called him a Jew-wop, which is probably something you wouldn't want to do in this Europe nowadays. Well, he called himself one. It was interesting. But, you know, in the ministry I was in, it was reaching the lost Jews. And he said, you know, he talked to people because we'd go street working door to door. I don't know about you guys, you know, and it was a good experience and talk to people about Jesus or Yeshua. And he used to have people say, well, I'm into the Jews. And he said, if you're not into a soul, don't worry about Jews. If the single soul that is lost means, you know what I mean, less to you, you're not even. And again, all these things are growth steps. I just want to encourage you.
Now, Hebrews 5:12 hits a lot of people a lot of ways, and hopefully I can reel it in to help it be applicable to you. The writer in Hebrews, who we do not know, says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is an infant. So at this point, as the writer writes, it's interesting. By this time, how many times can you relate to this where I look and go, Mike, by this time you should be doing this, this, but you're not. The reason I'm throwing myself into this equation is because I'm speaking an absolute truth about myself, and many times I've hit this. And you look and you're you know, it actually chokes me up inside. It's hard to even talk about it, but you go, okay. And I believe, here's the real point. I believe God brings these moments to damn you, to make you jump off a building, no, to show you how stupid you are, or you're shocking, you know, Armand, my gosh, you should be doing this by now. But many times we will have these by this time moments for the simple fact of God pushing us forward. Sometimes I have missed the step, missed the state I should be in. And God says, you know, by this time, you should be here. You know, I've had a lot of prophetic words that I was supposed to write, books. And I would go in one state, the preacher would say, yeah, you're supposed to have 6 books out by now. And I'd be in a state across the country, and it goes, oh, the Lord told me to tell you, you're supposed to have 6 books out by now.
And I go somewhere else, and I'm thinking, yeah, I just got to tell you, I just have this feeling, and it's like, that's a, by this time, this ought to have been done, and it's not even begun, barely. And you get that mark where God says, you know, by this time, you ought to be teaching, and you have someone need to teach you. But I want to tell you some mystery here. It's not a mystery. You know, it's interesting. The need to be able to teach others is the need to be taught ourselves. And the need to be able to share with others is really about living truth and not about speaking truth. We have confused so much book smarts to where we can say a verse, define a verse, and tell people what it says in the Greek, that we forgot that part of the authority, even as a teacher, is so connected to our ability to be taught. And I'm not spoken taught intellectually where I just go, I have a mental grasp on this, these facts, but taught in that I employ what I'm taught and I walk in it. It's a huge difference, guys. And what happens is a lot of people, a lot of men and women of God, arrogant, because they can handle the truth intellectually and they actually are confident as they stand up there to talk to others. Whether that truth is so far from them in the way they live or not, that doesn't even matter. They're not even checking themselves. In their mind, maturity is what they, the data they collect. In God's mind, maturity is manifest in your steps where the word becomes flesh and you walk it. So you get people handling deep scriptures with no gravity. Now you're going to say, well, are you telling me I can't share unless I've fully lived the truth? No, you can share the truths you've learned whether you fully lived them or not. But what I'm saying is it's an attitude when people don't even acknowledge that. And they believe that, you know, the ability to share a truth simply comes from the mind. And the ability to share a truth simply is if I intellectually understand it, it puts them at a grave disadvantage because they'll never teach with gravity. When we share truth, and this is interesting, but that's the difference. You guys ought to be teachers, but you're not. You have someone need to teach you. He necessarily wasn't saying you're stupid or don't know the facts. Because he goes on to define it. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, as he goes on, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good from evil. This is exactly what I'm talking about. He didn't accuse the Hebrews of not having the head knowledge. He accused the Hebrews of not walking, of not talking, of not really, the word was not really becoming flesh, and they were still like infants. And then he says something interesting. To discern, part of maturity comes from practice. And by practice, their senses can discern good from evil. Did you notice he didn't say discern right from wrong? There's a difference. Let me explain this. If he just said you can't even discern right from wrong, that would be one thing. But he says good from evil, which speaks of sources, God or the devil, the world or God, the spirit of the age or the spirit of the Lord. This discernment is actually a far deeper thing than people understand. These guys didn't know when heaven was speaking or when the earth was speaking or when the devil was speaking. They lacked discernment of the source of things. They didn't lack knowledge. That wasn't the problem at all. In fact, if you look at what the writer in Hebrews goes through, the priesthood, Melchizedek, and all kinds of things, he goes through all kinds of technical things. He doesn't talk down to them. They're actually advanced. But they're infants. That's the crazy part. You could be at a place where you should be able to teach others, and based on the Son of God growing in you, becoming larger and manifester, you could be a baby still just handling milk, and you could be 20 years. This is exactly what Paul's saying. He's saying the chronology in Christ should have you in a place where you're able to do this. But the reality of where you're really at is this. So maturity is so critical. This saying is not to discourage us. When God says, by this time, you ought to. I've never viewed it as a flat-out indictment. I have viewed it as a gut check, as a stage where God says, listen, this should be coming out of you, but this is coming out of you. I desire more. To me, when God says, by this time, it's a saying, wake up. It's a saying, I need you farther than you're at. And it's almost like from that day forward, you kind of get into the school of Christ and the school of transformation, and you start to realize you can't play the childish games or whatever the case is. Now, I've had people call me and read this verse and freak out. But I've often said it's not meant to be a discourage, but rather it's meant to be a challenge.
You're going through situations. I'm telling you right now. You're hitting situations. You're reacting. God's giving you a chance to do things. And He wants to manifest the Son of God in you. You know why too? When you're in a situation, every situation calls for Jesus to step in. Am I right? A lot of times we will pray too. You know, Jesus, step in. And He's like, I'm trying to step in through you. I need you to be a Son of God here. If I'm trying to step in, I need you to be a Son of God, because that's how I'm stepping in. And as I was in this earth, so you are in this earth, and I need you to understand. Maturity really means understanding also and becoming what you were meant to be, and that is the Son of God. I go back to Jackie Pullinger, which I'm just really amazed at some of the stuff she shares. It's truth, it's deep, but she's not theologically trained. So what? She definitely understands the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what flag she flies, you know. And she's doing the work. And Jesus is being made manifest in Hong Kong, and has for a long time. I think about that need, even in my neighborhood, even in our lives. You know, it's funny, all the things that we look at, whether God tells me to go speak to some people, you know, prophetic word. These are all just what the Son of God does and did and is doing now. Now, I remember I was newly saved. I was only in the Lord about 3 months. And I was fired up, guys. I got to tell you. All zeal, no knowledge. But still, it was just good to be a Christian. And I was running. And I remember I told the story a million times about going into this store by these pinball machines. And the Lord told me there's men there. There's this many guys. You're supposed to go into the store, go over there, and tell them you need to share something from me. And I didn't have a lot of the training you guys have. We didn't have YouTube. There was no Todd White. There was no, you know, Leonard Ravenhill. I mean, in those days. Yeah, they were around, but I'm just saying. In those days, that was the year Keith Green got saved. There was no Christian radio. Maybe it existed, but if it did, there was one station. And you know what I mean? We didn't even have cassette sermons at that time. I mean, I think we did, but not much. But I get this situation because the Son of God wanted to walk into Corvettes and Matson. That will ring a bell with a lot of you. You got to be around a long time to remember that one. But there was the Son of God that He needed me to be a Son of God and to go in there and minister for Him. And my friend just, I said, I got to do this. And my friend just said, how do you know? How do you know that's God? How do you know you're not hearing yourself? All this, like, you know, just this sudden, like, onslaught. How do you know I'm making a mistake? I mean, what if He didn't tell you to go in there? And I'm just like, I looked, I said, dude, I'm going in there. You know, what if I walk in there and they're not there? I have my Bible in my hand. What? It'll wreck the world. Christianity will cease to be. And I'm just like, and I said, I know. And he said, how do you know? I said, and I remember, I'll never forget, I was so new in the Lord, not a lot of scripture. I said, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So my original, without training, without a lot of formal training, was, if God wants to get something to you, is it more focused on whether you can hear Him or His ability to make you know it is Him speaking? Mm-hmm. It was very simple for me. Now, that's a 15-year-old talking, okay, guys? That's the mind of a teenager talking, but that's exactly what occurred. And I went in there, and I walked up, and the guys were playing pinball, the exact number, and the guy looks up, he goes, you have something to tell us, don't you? I said, yes, I do. And I sat there and went through the gospel, went through the scripture. In fact, my friend said, you quoted about 37 scriptures to these guys, bit by bit. I said, that's interesting, because I can't even remember what I ate for lunch the minute I walked out of the diner. But there you go. Son of God being made manifest. This is an important thing. Now, just to close this up, because I want you to be encouraged. There are steps you're taking. And there are different things, and there is a metamorphosis going on. But I want to say this. Maturity is a choice, okay? It is. And sometimes we will avoid certain things that God wants to deal with to mature in an area, and we will absolutely run from it. I've done it. I've seen it. The important thing is, obviously, in any area, we got to stop running. We have to stop avoiding it, and we have to let Him deal. Every one of you is different. Every one of you may have an Achilles heel that's a little bit different, but they're there nevertheless. Now Hebrews 6:1-3 says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, And then he says something of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And these we will do if God permits. You know, it's interesting that he mentions these things in the subject matter and says, hey, let's leave this elementary stuff behind. God wants you to grow. Let's leave it behind. Now I want to say this. Leaving things behind is voluntary. God won't cut out the connecting tissues that hinder you from growing up if you won't leave them behind. Here's a really important trick I want you to understand this morning. You can cling to something that keeps you a baby forever. And if you won't put it down and leave it behind, it'll stay with you. One of the greatest hindrances we often see when it comes to growing in Christ and maturing in Christ is there's something that's hard for us to let go, and it holds us back from actually growing up. It may be even one area, and we will not let it go. Could be comfort zones, could be phobias, could be fears, could be a whole lot of things. And it keeps us juvenile or even infantile in that area, and we don't let it go. Now, I want to tell you something. This is really a critical thing because I guarantee you, everyone in this room, when I say that, you remember something in the past where you had to take a step and you took it. And you remember something that you were very uncomfortable departing from. It was like a security for you. You know what I mean? It kept you comfortable. But God says, if you're going to grow up, that you got to leave that behind. You have to leave that behind. You're not going to grow up if you don't put that down. And you put it down. And you would experience a maturity. But I want to give you a little secret. This continues to go on. There are stages of maturity where you are growing. And even you'll come to the end of one stage. And you will have to actually release something to go forward. And you will have to release something to go forward some more.
That's why he tells the Hebrews, he says, listen, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let's press on to maturity. An interesting thing about that word, press on, it takes muscle. It takes pushing sometimes. It takes going against your own grain sometimes to get to the place. Here's the thing. Satan, in all his evilness and what he does to the Christian, one thing that he understands better than I do today, I will guarantee it, is a manifestation of the Son of God is an absolute death sentence for him. If sons and daughters of God rise and they mature and they grow, they will destroy his works. In fact, I don't know that the devil always wants Christians to put on black hoods and hail him as the new king. He doesn't mind if a Christian stays infantile and on milk forever, because he knows as such they will do no harm to him. Because they're infants. They can't walk, they can't talk, they can't articulate the Son of God things that God's called them to articulate if they grow up. And that's a critical thing. That is a critical thing. You're hitting phases in your life and other phases. And here's the other thing. Don't ever believe that you can't grow more. It's an interesting thing. My early perception was wrong on many things. And my early perception as a young Christian, I wanted to be able to handle the Word of God. I wanted to be, you know, intelligent with it. I wanted to understand it. All that was good. But the ultimate marks of maturity, I was just way off the mark of what that would really mean to me. And I was going to have to walk through a lot of things, a lot more things. You know, it's interesting. I went through a breaking, and I've told the story a lot about how I told my friend I was ready to die now. And he said, if God showed you what he would ask of you in the near future, you couldn't even bear to hear it. And there it was. I was at a level of maturity, and I made this statement feeling like, and it even revealed something like, I went through this time. I've graduated now, and I am lofty, and thank God I grew up. And all as God was speaking through my friend is, he said, yes, you have went through things. But you're not done, and you will go through more. And your maturity has hit a good level. But there's growing up you're going to have to do that even in the future. There's things God asked that if he did it today, you couldn't even bear to hear what he would ask of you. Thus, progressive maturity. Mm-hmm. Yes, I went through a horrible time. God did a breaking in me. I was at a place. But that wasn't the end. And even then, as a minister, my mindset on growing and maturing was still really short and missing a lot of points that would need to happen.
In our life, maturity means, you know, maybe raising the dead, and that can be a part of maturity, but maturity means this, and we use these markers. If I do this, and what we don't understand is a lot of the process of maturity also is going to be painful, is going to be leaving behind certain things, it's going to be this, there's so much to it. But if we start to understand that this process is going on, I don't care if you were sitting and you were on a Smucker's jar at 110 today, you could still grow. Yes, a 110-year-old person is plenty old in their body, but in our spirits, there's no end to our growth. It never stops. Well, he says, you know, let's leave behind the elementary principles, and he mentions raising the dead in eternal judgment. And talks about leaving behind. Think about this for a minute. The writer in Hebrews is getting into this maturity thing, and he's explaining how we're going forward and how we're going to continue to grow, and it's an amazing thing. And, you know, listen, we've got to be careful because God is maturing each of us. We've all got different lives. We have different challenges. No two of us are actually alike in the things God may ask us to leave behind. We're really not. There are similarities in all of us, but there are also individual life things that go on. And, you know, and it's interesting. I think back to, you know, the Son of God doing only what he could see the Father doing. And then it says in one time he went to this place and says, now the virtue was there for him to heal. Mm-hmm. I remember when I read that, the first time I reread it because I went, wait a minute, what? Mm-hmm. The anointing was there for him to heal. You mean there could have been a time where the actual Son of God, the anointing to heal would not have been there? Because that's actually what the verse implies. Mm-hmm. But once again, as a son living in this earth 3.5 years, also showing me and you what it is to be a son, could only see, do what he saw the Father doing. Do you remember when he was in his hometown? They said, is this not Mary's and Joseph's son? Isn't he not among us? And it says, because of that, he could not do many mighty works. Mm-hmm. Because familiarity is a booger. Familiarity breeds contempt. It rarely breeds anything good. You know what's so sad? We look in Scripture and it teaches us how dangerous familiarity is, where you can see a Son of God and view it nothing more. As I grew up with this person, I know him, and literally butcher the hand of God, stop the mighty works of God, all in your mind we're arrogant because we think we know someone or we're familiar with them. We could never see them as some anointed Son of God. And that's not a compliment at all. That's an amazing thing I watch Christians do with each other. Fall right into a sin that even thwarted the actual God-man Jesus from doing many mighty works. But praise God that he deals with us, and I think Dallas brought up a really good points. You know, we're going to grow, and we have to keep getting back up on the horse if we fall off, and we've got to keep growing. And that, this is the other thing. Growing is everything in your spiritual DNA is there to grow. Everything you were designed, God made a whole new man, a whole new woman in you, and that everything grows. You know, it's funny, babies don't stay infants. You know, and being a parent, you can really, you know, you got your infant, and then they start growing. You always say that, you're getting too big for me. You were cute. Come on, you're getting, you know, because we love the infants. But the fact of the matter is, it's like you're born becoming something. You were born again becoming something. God is bringing you to greater pastures. God is bringing you to greater things. God is asking of you. He will ask more. But what's interesting about Paul, he's a son of God, just like us. Paul manifests the Son of God. He gets to this place in Galatians. And I love what Paul says, because we don't understand in a way. He says what we all need to be able to say. He says, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. What an amazing thing to know that you're on the eve of your martyrdom. And to say, not say, oh my God, I wasted my life. I can't believe what I didn't do. I farted around, you know what I mean? I spent my life on the edge, never entering in. I thank God that a man said, I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. And he said, I finished the course. Let me explain something. This is interesting. Paul knew his end had come, not because a sword was going to take his head off, which it did in Rome. But he knew his life had come to an end because he had finished what he was supposed to do for God. And that is a beautiful thing. Think about it. He didn't say, I finished a course. He didn't say, you know what, I'm finished because I'm going to die before the emperor because I'm not going to deny my faith and they're going to kill me. But I finished my course. I came,
I was born again. I cried out, Abba, Father. In fact, it's interesting, isn't it? Paul cries out, Abba, Father, on the road to Damascus. Then he spends 14 years in Saudi. We don't even know about Saudi. To this day, that's kind of a, I call it a black hole. 14 years in Saudi. But there God prepares him. You know what I'm saying? There God prepares. He makes an initial splash and then 14 years. Isn't that a lifetime, guys? Mm-hmm. Heck, I've forgotten things existed in 5 years. 14 is a lifetime. But I want to encourage you because I really, this is a little more prophetic than it was academic. And that I'm just explaining to you this process is going on. And I want you to know the markers that you're, you know, that you are becoming more and more of. God desires to expand. God wishes to do things in you. But I want you to mark maturity. Sometimes, too, you're asking God for things that are absolutely great. Some things you're ready for. Some things you're not. And he'll grow you into it. He desires. You know, God showed me many things that I would do in the future. What I didn't understand at first was the process of maturing at all. In my mind, if God showed it, it was to be done tomorrow. I just had no sense of you're going to have to grow a lot. And that man you saw, and here's the other thing. Many of you have seen visions of yourself, maybe had dreams of doing things. God has even given you glimmers in your spirit, hopes of whatever it is, to serve him faithfully. But it's interesting. One thing I realized years later, and it took the Lord actually happened to speak to me because I'm slow of mind sometimes. And he said, the man you saw in that vision is not the man you are today at all. Are you getting this? He showed me the future of something I would do, and he said, the man you saw in that vision is not the man you are today. And he said, but he will be. You will be. And I realized even when he spoke that, it wasn't just a matter of power or my faith. It was a matter of more and more growing into that Son of God that I'm destined to be, maturing. Different stages of the game here. And I realized for the first time, and I only heard this recently, this is in the last few years. I'm like, yeah, I saw my face and my body there, and that was me. And then the Lord has to say, you know, that Mike, he'll show up, but that Mike's not here today. It's literally, he literally said, and the Mike that it takes to do what you saw is a different man than you are. And I must kill, and I must raise, and I must mature you. Isn't that interesting? But that's all process of maturing. It's not some, you know, go to 4 years of college and get this degree in theology. Mm-hmm. No, he's just like, hey, I'm shaping you, Mike. The guy you saw doing those awesome miracles, you're not that man yet. But you're going to become that man. I showed you. In fact, it's like, yes, I showed you the future, absolutely. This is where I'm heading. This is where I want you to go. This is everything that of me that is leading you will bring you to this point. But there's an obvious catch there, too. So follow me in this process. That you become that man by listening. You become that man by the process of maturing. And that's a beautiful thing. Let's all rise and pray. Be encouraged today. God wants you to grow, and he's going to continue to do it. He wants to bring you to the places. I want to say this as we pray. Don't ignore the little steps. Sometimes God asks something of you. It's so simple. It could be to share the gospel with somebody. It could be to, I mean, sometimes they ask you, because you're a son and daughter of God, he'll ask you, you know, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. And it could be a tiny thing, but it's so critical and part of your growth process. Interesting, going in a retail store was a big step for me many years ago. But it's funny how I would walk into nations and in hard situations, you know, which was... Nothing, but obviously the 15-year-old kid that walked into that store to share the gospel, and the man I am today, you know, this is a process. But I believe as we pray, there is something the Lord's doing in the body in America. Lord, as we close today, my prayer is just there's a process of maturing going on. I've had those moments where you said, by this time you ought to be here, you're not. you need to catch up. By this time, you ought to be here. It never was a condemnation, but it was definitely a wake-up call. It was, you know, you're bringing us to this place. And I think of that process of growing into sons and daughters of God. It's such a critical thing. I pray today inspiration, God, because there are goals to get to. You've got, you know, every name in this room is, you've got, it's written in the book of life, and it has a future. It has a, they have callings, they have goals, they have places they're going to get. Lord, sometimes I think about situations where we need to see the Son of God raised up in the midst, and we need to see it. Sometimes we are that factor. We have been placed in situations where the only child of God showing up is us. And you want to use us, God. We can look to ourselves oftentimes, and it can be a mistake. It says that you take the weak things of the world to confound the wise. I thank you, Father, that even today as we go forth, that maturity is a good thing. And yet, Lord, it's funny. We're growing. It's a process. There is not a time machine that you stick us in, lock the door, and then you press the, you know, 20 years of advancement button, and we pop out, you know, men and women of God already. Our day-to-day, Lord, we don't realize this because, you know, we live lives that sometimes probably seem ho-hum or dull. But we live lives, and day-to-day it says pours forth speech, and day-to-day grows us. And situations grow us, and challenges grow us, and obedience grows us. And we could come to the place, as Paul said, it is no longer I who live. He had grown, he had matured, he had come to that place as the Son of God, was doing the works of Jesus in that area. Changed the world, wrote most of the epistles. It's an incredible thing. But so importantly in our individual lives, even as the Son of God is made magnified, the works of the devil will be destroyed. That's a promise. That's part of what we do, all of us. It's not just me. It's not just one of us or two of us. The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. We are on that mission as we are with the destroying the works of the devil. Lord, as Matt had talked about with the cross and that need to share, there is no doubt about it. Lord, I've traveled 12,000 miles each way to even deal with younger men of God and churches to give them tools to better lead their people. So I even pray this morning that you would continue to grow us and mature us. But I pray right now too one special prayer about the letting go, leaving behind. There are things that can make us perennial babies, and I know that. And we can cling to them and hold to them and, you know, and whine if you threaten to take them away. And, you know, it's funny, Lord, it's just how it works. But I pray even today, Lord, we're not all like carbon copies here. Sometimes there's something we have to put down or we have to grow. It hinders us. I pray a blessing on each and every believer in this room today. Help us to know at that moment, hey, this thing, I'm going to let go so I can get forward to this thing. Lord, I can't give a list. It would not do justice to what I'm saying. You can show us at times, listen, this has got to go. Or this comfort zone, it keeps you immature. Lord, I had a lot of comfort zones. I remember fear of traveling, fear of flying, I didn't like other nations. I had no intention of leaving the state, actually. I mean, I was all right in the country, but even then I was uncomfortable. I hated change. I liked routine. Even if it was monotonous, I liked routine. And there's things sometimes we got to let go. It may be even parts of our emotional being that absolutely thwart us. Because, Lord, also maturing, obedience is connected to maturity many times. As we listen, we grow. And as we listen and go where you're going, we grow. And sometimes it may interfere with different natural personality traits and emotional things, but that's okay. I pray a blessing on every heart here today. Because you are certainly working, Lord. And we're so grateful that you are working, God. We are so grateful that your blood covers us. Without it, we would be in a load of trouble. We're grateful for your power, Jesus. And we want people to know you because of us. We do. We want people to know, hey, Jesus is real. I saw him in her. I saw him in him. He's got to be real. He's got to be real.
Yes, God. Yes.
Lord, it's funny how a changed life speaks volumes to the lost. A changed life, a changed values, changed everything we are, the aim. It speaks to people. But I pray for America because, you know, we want to see one new man rise in America. And many sons of God, many sons and daughters of God, that they would be risen up. And they would go forth as an army in this country. And they would destroy the works of the devil. They would bring change. They would truly bring change. They would truly cause things to shift. Lord, if we aim low, we will get low. If we aim high, Lord, help us to have that absolute belief that you are faithful to do what you say. Even as I was listening to that sermon, that absolute belief that you are good for what you promise. That absolute belief that you are in the business of freeing men and women from the power of sin. You are still in that business. That we know we want to, Lord, help us to be eager. If I could pray for them, that would help. If I could lay my hands. Lord, there's so much set to be said about that general faith that God is able. Yes. God desires to come forth. There's so much to be said about an individual faith. Lord, we are all going to see situations where we're going to have to sometimes turn our head and say that power prayer and then speak. There's going to be situations and trying stuff that is hard that we're going to have to look and say, you know what? Lord, be my strength right now. I pray today as we would go. And I want to thank you for this group of people. I've seen many manifestations of sons of God here. And I've dealt with every one of these people are my friends. I've seen what they can do. I've seen you manifest in them. And Lord, more importantly, I've seen them display maturity, really the kind that counts. Rid us of religious speculations of what it means to be mature. Yes. Rid us of man's ideas. Even as that Jackie ministered in Hong Kong, and she got some flack. She wasn't horribly trained. She wasn't this. And it's funny, she's so mature in Christ. Lord, I'm grateful, even if she talked about people say, this is my ministry, and she says, until you're willing to do everything associated with it, you can't possibly say, that's my ministry. That's the good, the bad, the ugly, the minute, the little things, the unglorified things, the things that don't have a lot of vanity to them. Move us forward, as I know, Lord, you laid this on me about the manifestation of the Son of God in our life. The manifestation in our ministry. The manifestation to each other too. Do we have the essence and the fragrance of Christ as we deal with each other? Or is there something else we're smelling? Something far from Christ? Help us to do that today. Lord, we need it. We want to see the success that is connected with the kingdom. And we do want to do all those visions, all those things, seeing Jesus in the streets. Lord, I even think of the different stuff I've seen with Todd White. It's just, you know, like you said, I'm a Christian. Don't even care about titles. I'm doing the works of Jesus.
Yes.
And actually believing Jesus is doing works. Thank you for that. But Lord, I think there's a pattern there that the church is called to. I don't think it's unusual or only for some people. You're sending us out as sheep amongst wolves. But you're with us. You will protect us. And you will see this stuff through. But Father, I just, again, as we close, I pray that encouragement to every heart. Lord, many times we will cut ourselves down. And yet I'll look at people and I'll see a different person than I saw last year. I'll see a progression. And I'll see when it was put on the line, what they manifest was Jesus. Thank you for that. Mm. Lord, we might be our own worst critics sometimes, but I pray that spirit of encouragement today as we dismiss. I pray for our families, Lord. We cry out for kids that are wayward, that are just have stepped into ways that as a parent you look and you just cry out. It grieves you. You you see how short it's coming. And the associated pains and failures with turning from you, Lord. The losses, the grief. And we pray, Lord, because it says you're married to the backslider, and we pray you would do that work, God. And then as parents and people, and you know, whether parents, sisters, brothers, that we would intercede. We got to get on our knees, Lord. Lord, sometimes to me, you can pray in a burden of grief, and that's good, but sometimes grief is, without prayer, it's a waste of time. Help us to intercede. Get on our knees. Lord, I had a man once tell me, when you say you care as much as you pray. Mm-hmm. To say, I really care about this, he said, is how hard you pray shows God how much it really means to you. And Lord, when I was challenged with that, I barely prayed at all. So mm-hmm. truthfully, I didn't really care in a way that was profitable or helpful. We need that. We need our burdens to drive us to our knees. And we need to be driven to our knees to intercede for the people we love. We need to fight. Sometimes we got to fight for this stuff. It's not going to be handed to us. We're going to have to fight. So blessings today, Lord. Thank you for everyone here today. So much thank you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Blessings, guys.